fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
You are listening to the leaders of political talk in a nation of leaderless leadership that no one alive has seen. I'm Lair Adams, co-wrangler of the American Adversaries Drive Home Safely Drive Time Show on the Big News Talk 660 WORL. And can you tell me how much maturity it takes for our prez to treat the leader, yep, there's that word again, leader of Russia, Vladimir Putin, the same way he treats Republicans? You won't give me what I want. I will snub you and not speak to you. Is that what re-election gets you? A free pass from grown-ups' world? Now, the other day, my co-host said, lead is spelled the same way as lead. The Republicans need to get the lead out if they want to lead Christopher Hart.
Oh, you got it so right there, Lair Adams. And once again, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us tonight. That's right. You are listening to the American Adversaries. It is Drive Time. I am Christopher Hart. That was Lair Adams. And we've got a special treat for you once again tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We have Mark Merrow sitting in studio with us. And I just want to say right away, thanks again, Mark, for being with us tonight.
Chris, Lair, Tyler, thank you guys for having me back. I had so much fun last time I was here. I said, you know, when I found out I could come back, are you kidding me?
We get that reaction a lot from people who are guests on our show. And we do. We have Tyler Israel in the studio with us as well, our intern.
Hey, always a pleasure.
All right, and once again, Tyler joins us every Sunday nights, and you can join us too, live 5 to 8 p.m. on Sunday nights. And it's a real treat to have Mark in the studio with us today because he's a great story. First of all, you know, he was a professional wrestler, champion, WCW champion, and wrestled in the WWF, which is now the WWE. And so with that angle, we certainly enjoy, but his life story is... His testimony is a great testimonial, and what he's doing now with his life is so very inspirational that we just, you know, this is the sort of thing that we're drawn to, you know, like flies, if you will. But we're going to be talking with Mark the whole show tonight, and we welcome you, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to join us at 407-774-8255 to pick up that phone and do just that. And keep that phone number close because we've got a lot of stuff to give away tonight.
Ooh.
Once again, it is Wednesday, so be listening during our commercial breaks for that Rays highlight play, and you'll win a family four-pack of tickets to a Rays game of your choosing. These tickets, wow, there are no limitations. You can go to any Rays game, home game, between now and the end of the regular season. So we'll be giving that away tonight. Also, Mark has brought copies of his book. We're going to be giving three or four copies of his book away today. The title of it is How to Be the Happiest Person on the Planet. I mean, who doesn't need this book, folks? I mean, with that title, I mean, everybody should have a copy of this book. And we're going to be talking a little bit about this book. And one chapter in particular that really intrigues me, given the campaign that I'm on, if you will, since the verdict came down in the Trayvon Martin case. And when I considered where do we go from here, this was the idea that I came up with. And it had to do with an experience that a dear friend of mine had. So we're going to get into that in a few minutes here with Mark Merrow. But real quickly, Mark, there's a very special contest going on having to do with driving away bullying, and this is in conjunction with the Arena Bowl. Please tell us about this, and folks, you can enter to win a little Chevy Spark.
It is a great opportunity. My good friends over at Carl Black Chevrolet gave me a brand new 2013 Chevy Spark, and they said, Mark, we want to help you raise money this year for your anti-bullying program, because unfortunately schools do not have funds for presentations at schools. And we go around and we raise money to speak about public schools all over the country. And it gave us this car, and we are going to raffle this car off. It's for $20, you can get a raffle ticket for the 2013 Spark. If you go to winaspark.com, if you spend $100, you get 6 tickets, but you also get 2 free Arena Bowl tickets. So you'll be able to go to the game. And for everybody that brings a ticket back to Carl Black Chevrolet, they give you a free oil change. So it's really an amazing deal. But more important than that, it's helping us battle bullying at our public schools.
Well, let me ask you a question about that, Mark. Your background, not only were you a wrestler, you also boxed. And probably tougher than all that, you played hockey.
And I got hurt more in hockey than any sport.
I would have to say. But you were a tough guy. Would you ever say that you had ever bullied anyone? In the tough man world, you kind of got a bully.
Absolutely. You know, I was a jerk at times in my life. And I think about the people that I hurt in my life or people that I picked on that were, you know, weak or small or whatever it was. I was a jerk, you know, and many times. And I also got picked on and bullied. And I talk about that in my school presentations of what it was like for me. But, you know, it's such a blessing to be at a point in my life now where going through so much adversity, and I realize what words can do to other people. You know, words kill. And people don't understand that. There are memories I have from when I was in elementary school, what someone said or did to me, that I still remember today like it was yesterday, of how embarrassed I was in front of the class or a bully or someone that picked on me. And I when I speak to bullies today, kids that do bully other kids, you know, I often find out that they have their own insecurities that they're going through, or maybe they were bullied or abused in some way in their life also.
As a matter of fact, I was listening to an interview that you did with Pat Williams, who does a show here on 660 and 950, the Salem Communication Stations. Pat Williams, of course, with the Orlando Magic. And in regards to this, you say that oftentimes parents don't really know what their children are up to. And I believe you use the expression is some of us are so involved in making a living, we forget to make a life.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is the truth in many, many circumstances. You know, I'm seeing so many, there's some great parents out there, don't get me wrong, but, you know, I see so many families that come from a broken family, you know, one parent raising a kid or a grandparent or whatever. And we're seeing, and so many parents have checked out. We're seeing absentee parents. We're seeing parents that are still acting like kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, when it's so easy just to give a kid a cell phone or a computer and just not have any communication.
TV set.
I was at dinner not too long ago, and we were sitting across from a couple with their 5 kids, and they're at this big round table, and they're all on their cell phones, you know, whether they're texting or playing a game or something. I said to my wife, I go, this is a family night out right here. They're all in their own world. I mean, it's really right. Sad. We are losing our family dynamic in this country.
That's the picture of dysfunctional in the dictionary.
You know, I'm screaming from the rooftops right now, and I'm begging someone to listen to me. We are losing our next generation. I mean, I am watching these young people going through isolation, loneliness, depression, being bullied or abused, suicidal thoughts. I see more kids cutting than I never even heard of I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Kids that are burning themselves, kids that are hopeless, and kids that are taking their lives. I mean, just a couple weeks ago, we had 2 more deaths over in Volusia County. This precious little girl, Morgan Tuck, who I spent time with her family, went over to their home. She shot herself, and she's gone. She's 15 years old. A week later, a little boy, Colin, I can't remember his last name, he was killed in an alcohol-related death. I went to his funeral, met with his family. They've lost 6 kids in the last year or so over in Volusia County that died much too young, whether it's suicide, a drug or alcohol related death or a drug overdose. But we're seeing this happening all over the country, and something needs to be done. And we've got to reach out and talk to these kids and let them know that they do have someone to talk to. So many of these kids hold this inside, and it becomes like a volcano. And sooner or later, that volcano is going to erupt. And I've been doing this a long time, and I see it erupt in negative behavior, alcohol, drugs, being promiscuous, hurting or bullying another student, mm-hmm. cutting, burning, and, of course, worst case, suicide.
And then you throw puberty into this mix, too, and you've just got a volatile combination.
You're absolutely right, Lair. Their hormones are going crazy, you know. And
I remember
that age. And we live in the entitlement era where every kid, you know, kids feel entitled today. I mean, you know, everybody wants the bling bling and the big Escalade. Nobody wants to work for anything mm-hmm. anymore. Everybody, you know, when I say everybody, I'm talking about the majority. I meet so many wonderful people and families that are rooted and grounded, but I am meeting so many families that are disorganized and just chaos. And it's sad. It really breaks my heart because I go through this pain with families week after week, month after month, and now year after year.
I think also we don't pay enough attention to the signals that our children are receiving from society at large. And what I mean by that is you said something else in the interview that triggered my thinking. You said, when you don't respect other life, you lose respect for your own life. And we receive so many signals from society, whether they be movies, you know, from Hollywood, where life is just, you know, so easily blown away, so to speak. And the right, you know, to, or let's say the argument that says that a fetus isn't alive until it's taken home from the hospital or something like that. I mean, we receive all these signals, if you will, from society that tells us that life isn't to be respected. And so I think that that's playing out in our children's minds as well. You said it. When you don't respect other life, you lose respect for your own.
You're so right, Chris. Not only do I see kids have lost respect for authority, but what is really scary is when you lose respect for life. That you know, when you try to explain to, say, a middle school that, say, 53,000 people were killed in alcohol-related deaths in the state of Florida, and it's a statistic. They're just big deal. Who cares? They go home and play Tour of Duty and blow mm-hmm. people's brains mm-hmm. out. They become desensitized to what is truly important in life. And our program brings that back into the public schools and really shares with them what is truly important. And by sharing my story at a heartfelt level of experiences that I've gone through, not only being with parents that have lost their loved ones through suicide or drug overdose or a car accident or whatever it could be, but also my own story of losing my little brother and sister. They both died at 21. My mother died at 58. My dad died while I was holding him in my arms. So I've experienced so much tragedy in my own life, but I don't want people to feel like victims. I want people to realize that you can go from tragedy to triumph. You don't have to sit there and feel like a victim. You know, perception is reality. And if you perceive yourself as a victim, you're going to always feel like a victim.
I'm glad you brought that up. We've got to go to a break, but I want to expand on that when we come back. And by the way, folks, you can help Mark Merrow in his efforts to drive away bullying by going to winaspark.com. And for $20, you can enter a raffle, get a raffle ticket. You could win a car. If nothing else, you're going to be helping a great cause. WinASpark.com. Please do it, and please don't go away. We'll be right back.
For 16 years, Cafe Positano has been famous for blending their traditional Italian family recipes with the latest cuisines. They offer affordable fine dining in the banquet room and more casual dining in the main area. From pizza to specialty dishes and tender, juicy prime rib, everything is made fresh daily, even our sauces. And owner Pasquale Barbara promises you'll want to return. Located 4 miles west on I-4 on 436, phone 407-774-8080.
Cafe Positano is true Italian food, e lo prometto.
This is Marilee from Vacation Travel Planners, bringing you the travel deals of the week, like Bahama cruises from $199 per person. Book the new Norwegian getaway and receive $100 onboard credit. Oh, yeah! MSC's Divina is also coming to Miami. Rates start at $499 per person. Princess is offering balcony upgrades, plus $100 onboard credit on all their exotic destinations like Australia and South America. Disney Cruise Line has specials on the Disney Magic. Call for details. Sandals and Beaches Resorts are offering up to 65% off Plus, military and firefighters receive an additional 10% off. Give us a call at 321-251-4777. That's 321-251-4777. Or visit us at vacationtravelplanners.com. Keep listening for new travel specials every week. Bon voyage!
The American Adversaries, where you and the president can wrestle for the truth.
We're still in this wrestling match with
Blair Adams
and
Christopher Hart, the American Adversaries.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to a very special edition of the American Adversaries Drive Time. I'm Christopher Hart, and along with Blair Adams, we're joined in the studio this afternoon by Mark Merrow, who is went by the name of Johnny B. Badd for the most of, of his wrestling career, and we're also joined by our intern, Tyler Israel. And once again, folks, if you want to help Mark in his efforts to drive away bullying and as he goes around to give presentations to schools all over the country, and perhaps win yourself a car in the process, go to winaspark.com. That's winaspark.com, and for $20, you can help Mark out and register to win this car. And by the way, the drawing is going to be at the Arena Bowl. Is that correct?
It is. After the Arena Bowl, there's going to be a big wrestling match. Kevin Nash is coming back.
And awesome.
And Bubba the Love Sponge and Kevin Nash versus Russ Rollins, my good buddy from the Monsters, and Dale Torborg, the Demon, who's representing KISS. KISS will be there. Mm-hmm. The KISS Army is going to be there. Mm-hmm. Gene Simmons and the KISS will be there. They're going to choose the winning ticket at the end of the night for the person that wins the Spark. Now, you don't have to be there to win. That's the thing. I mean, obviously, all the money goes for our anti-bullying program, and it's exciting. Like I said, if you buy $100 worth of tickets, you don't get five tickets. You get six tickets, plus you get two Arena Bowl tickets, which are like $40 a piece anyways.
And it's going to be a great game. Unfortunately, the Predators won't be in it, but it'll nonetheless be a very entertaining game. They always
are. It will be, and I'm really excited about it.
It's worth it just to see Bubba the Love Sponge get body slammed.
All right. Mark, you mentioned in the as we were going into the previous break that you lost both your brother and sister at the age they were at 21.
21, yeah.
You lost your mother and your father died in your arms, and it also had a deep impact on you. And in your interview with Pat Williams, and I thought it was very touching, and I'd like you to, if you won't mind, to relate it to our listeners. You talked about when you stood the tallest in your life,
yeah,
while you were on your knees.
Yeah, well, what happened was not only did I share with you losing my family, but, you know, as you guys know, I've lost over almost 40 friends now, guys that I've wrestled against in the world of professional wrestling. Most died from bad choices, suicide, murder, but most died from drug overdose.
And you mentioned Chris Benoit was a good friend of yours.
Yeah, traveled with Chris, wrestled against Chris maybe 50 times. You know, he was a really good friend, and I loved Chris, and it was just a shame of what happened and how he killed his beautiful wife and son Daniel.
As a result of using painkillers, mostly.
Yeah, and you know, so after losing my family, my friends, and my ex-wife, she left, and I was really hopeless in my life, you know, and I didn't have no direction. I looked at my body after, you know, 9 surgeries at that time. I looked a mess, and I just remember feeling like I didn't want to be here no more. I hated my life. I hated who I become. It was Christmas Day, and I had no place to go. I mean, my mom, dad, brother, sister, they're gone. And I remember just thinking, I got nobody to call, man. I was once rich, I was once famous. And I drove to Cocoa Beach, Florida, and I sat under a pier. And I remember it was Christmas Day, I mean, a day that we celebrate the birth of our Savior, the exchanging of gifts, family, music, laughter, food, all the things that you just can't wait for. And I'm sitting underneath that pier in Cocoa Beach, Florida, watching the waves roll in and roll out. And it was that day I contemplated the end. I didn't want to be here anymore. And it wasn't long after that I drove home and in my nightstands where I keep my handgun, and I walked into my shower. I put my back against the wall and I spread my legs. And the idea was I was going to slide down the wall, and then when my butt hit the ground, I would pull the trigger. And all of a sudden, as I'm standing there with that gun up to my head, my life flashes before me. I'm seeing my brother and my sister, happier times in my life, us laughing and hugging each other. And it was so powerful. I just kept thinking to myself, I just want to be with him. I just want to see him one more time. And then I started sliding down the wall, and I get a vision as clear as I could see you guys sitting right here in front of me of hell. I mean, it was the scariest I've ever felt. I was terrified. And I remember falling to my knees and just dropping that gun and just begging God for forgiveness and asking Christ into my life. And that's why I often say the tallest I've ever stood was that day I got down on my knees. My life completely changed from that day going forward. Everything I realized, I finally have a purpose in my life. See, my whole life was always about trying to change other people's. You know, why isn't dinner ready? Why isn't this house clean? You know, you should love me more. But when I realized that it was me that needed to change, my whole world changed. And that's when I just felt I just wanted to give everything I had. Everything I have left in this world is given. I mean, my heart, my soul, just going out there and changing other people's lives and realizing, man, the rest of your life will be the best of your life. Realizing that, you know, we can dictate our future. We don't have, I don't want to feel like a victim. I don't feel sorry for myself. I mean, I lost millions of dollars, but you know, it's not what's in your pocket that's important. It's what's in your heart that's
sure.
truly important.
And as a matter of fact, that resulted in you writing your book, How to Be the Happiest Person on the Planet. And it's got some great advice in here. Dream big, laugh often, and think pause.
And Chris, you're giving me a run for my money, man. I see you right now, brother.
But there's one chapter in particular in this book I want to talk about. But before we do that, let's go ahead and give four books away. Folks, if you would like to have a copy of How to Be the Happiest Person on the Planet, just give us a call right now at 407-774-8255. That's 407-774-8255. And we'll give them to the first four people who call. How to Be the Happiest Person on the Planet by Mark Merrow. And, Mark, let me just, let me back up because I want to spend enough. I see we only have about a minute and a half as we come up on the hard break, and I don't want to get into the subject, but, until we have more time. But, you talk about being the champion of choices. In other words, the theme of your book, How to Be the Happiest Person on the Planet, really the secret is in you, isn't it?
Well, happiness is a choice.
Right.
You know, see, it's not so much about our circumstance or our situation. It's how we respond to them. In much of my life, I had a terrible response to adverse situations. I was a guy that was going to swear or throw my cell phone or, you know, or just act ridiculous. I got so sick of always having to go back to people and saying, hey, sorry for acting that way. Sorry for talking to you that way. And I knew it was me that had to make the change in my life. So I started having a whole different response to adverse situations. And that's also through my faith in God.
Yeah. And, you know, it's been said throughout history, I think even Abraham Lincoln said it, you know, you're as happy as you want to be.
That's true.
And so, you know, a lot of us, in particular in this day and age where victimology is coming at you from all directions, so many people want to buy into it for whichever reason, they need to think, again, no, it's really my choice. My perception is my reality.
And so many people today are dumbed down over even making choices for themselves. They don't want to.
You're absolutely right. You know what? We live in a world of doom and gloom, and I am so tired of listening to the news. I mean, where's all the good news? There's so many good things that happen in the world, but we never hear about that.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, well, we're going to hear a lot more from Mark Merrow when we come back from the break, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. Going to have a little bit of news here for you, but do not go away because we will be back.
More political mayhem is on the way. You're listening to The American Adversaries on 660 WORL. If you can take it.
Okay, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so very much for being with us this afternoon. The American Adversaries Drive Time with Mark Merrow on with you here today. And congratulations to Gordon, Edward, Gordon of Maitland, Edward of Tavares, Joel of Winter Springs, and Carl of Apopka. You guys all got through, and you will get your copy autographed, by the way, by Mark Merrow of the copy of How to Be the Happiest Person on the Planet. So
yeah,
once
Nick
again,
looks pretty flustered back there answering the phones.
He was. I tell you, the phone lines were just lit up, and I want to thank you folks for calling in, and thank you, Mark, for the copies of your book to give away.
You're so very welcome. If anybody would like to purchase a copy, you can always go to our website, which is Think, T-H-I-N-K, Pause, which is P-O-Z as in zebra, thinkpause.org, O-R-G, and you can buy T-shirts or hats or all kinds of
things. And possibly you may even be able to speak at their church or their event.
Oh, my
correct?
Gosh. You know, I love speaking at schools, but there is no greater joy than I have been speaking at a church and talking about my faith in God.
And I want to talk about an incident that happened at a church, at a school that you were in. You were telling us during the break, you said that you spoke at a school, and was it Atlanta? And then after you left, a kid wrote you or called you or contacted you and said that they were going to shoot up the school.
It was a really scary situation. I get so many letters from students that say, you know, Mark, you saved my life, and kids that were suicidal, and it's such a blessing to read this. This one alarmed me because the young man wrote to me, he said, Mark, the day you came to my school was the day I was going to shoot up the school. He had access to the two guns, and he had the kids he was going to kill, and then he was going to kill himself. Unfortunately, we have to report this because you can, even though he said, you know, you saved him or you changed, mm-hmm. you still got to make sure this kid has ongoing counseling, you know. And he was detained, and during the interrogation, his mom was with him, and his mom was just crying, holding him, and he was looking straight ahead. And the police officer asked him, he says, "What stopped you?" And he said, "That man that came to our school made me feel like I can't do this to my mom. I can't hurt my mom like the way he felt when his mom died." And it was really a powerful moment, you know, but it stopped him from shooting up other kids and obviously killing himself.
That's an amazing story. Mark, you've written an amazing book, and there's one chapter in particular I want to talk about. When the verdict came in from the Trayvon Martin, tragedy, I was started to think, well, you know, where can we go from here? What's going to happen here? Because obviously there's going to be hard feelings, right? And I thought of a friend of mine, Tom Weigel, was a prominent businessman here in town. He's retired now. And his son was killed by a hit-and-run driver. And at the sentencing phase of the trial for the driver, when Tom was asked, you know, what do you want to say about your son and what would you prefer the sentence to be, basically, he simply stood up in front of the court. He looked at the defendant, and he said, "I forgive you." And the defendant collapsed in tears, and I don't know whatever happened to him, but I do know that my friend Tom does not live with bitterness. He does not live with resentment. He does not hate the person who did it. He does not hate God that his son was taken away from him. He has been able to go on with his life. You wrote a chapter in your book about forgiveness. This is what I would like to see happen. If we really want to heal this nation, don't you think that the only way to do that, the only way, and Christ shows us, is forgiveness? Because as long as we're going to maintain the wounds of the old, we cannot get on with living the new.
You know, Chris, you are so right. That is actually my favorite chapter. It's called Let It Go. And I often compare to unforgiveness. It's like you drinking the poison and waiting for them to die. Most people that harm us in our life have moved on with their life, and we hold this bitterness and this resentment, and we lock ourselves in this emotional prison for many, many years. I say either you forgive or you relive. And I don't want to relive. I mean, people that wronged me in my life, I can't even remember their names. I mean, I don't really think about it, you know, to even go there in my life, because I have so much joy. I don't want to go back to places that I wasn't happy, but I let it go. And that's what you have to do. You have to let it go. The sadness, and you're right, we have to move on as a nation, and forgiveness is the top of the list. I mean, we all want forgiveness, but it's so hard for us to forgive somebody else and to let it go. And we have to forgive. And it's what changed my life. I mean, the Bible even says, you know, if we can't forgive others, how can Christ forgive us?
It just seems to me that is the path forward. When we talk about healing, that is the prescription.
Yeah.
And that if the parties that were involved in this case could somehow find it in their hearts to forgive one another, can you imagine the power that would carry for the rest of the nation?
There's no greater joy in forgiving, you know that? I mean, really, it really releases you. It does.
That's
right. It stops the bitterness and the anger and the resentment and the just clenching of the fists and the tightening of the face and the hardening of your arteries. It really releases you from that emotional prison.
Absolutely. Let's bring in Nostra Dennis, our executive producer right now. Nostra Dennis, how are things going over at headquarters? Are they dry over there?
I can hear the rumbling in the background. I was out on the veranda earlier tonight, and it looks like there might be some rainy weather coming, so be careful out there.
All right.
Headquarters has a veranda?
We do, yes. You've never been there? Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Great view.
Any questions or comments for Mark Merrow?
Yes, Mark. I grew up, I think I'm a little older than you, but not too much. I think we grew up in around the same era. Is bullying more prevalent than it was when you and I were in school? Or is it just more publicized than it was back then?
It's much more. It's what kids are going through today is a tragedy. You know, when we were in school, I mean, when you think back when you were a kid in middle school or elementary school or even high school, you kind of knew who the school bully was. You know, you stay away from that guy or that girl. And you know, back then, you know, but you know, here's the thing is when I was a kid, my mom couldn't afford clothes for me to go to school. She often buy our clothes at garage sales, and I'd often go to school. My pants would be too short, and the heel of my shoe would come undone. And I remember sitting in class, and this kid stood up in front of everybody. He was such a bully. He goes, "Hey, Merrill, I got a T-shirt just like that, except mine's got a red stain under the arm." I lift my arm, and there's the red stain. He goes, "You got that at our garage sale, man. You're a bum." And the whole school caught on to that word.
Oh,
bum.
Boy.
Everybody, everywhere I went, "Hey, Merrill, you bum, where are you going? Garage sale?" I would go home in tears. I said, "Mom, I can't go back." And my mom, she'd grab me and hug me, and she said, "Mark, it's not what's on the outside that matters. It's what's on the inside." But, you know, back then, I was maybe bullied or abused, embarrassed in front of maybe 50, 60 kids. Now, fast forward to 2013, where you take that same little boy or that precious little girl, and you put them up on all the social media.
Yes.
Imagine waking up in the morning, getting ready for school, and you log on to your Facebook, and you read how ugly, stupid, and worthless you are, and that's how you start your day, and you don't want to tell your parents.
Day after day.
Exactly. And month after month, year after year, and you just feel worthless, and you get unproductive, and you stop dreaming. And these are where the kids, they lose their focus, and you see kids that get off into doing things that they don't do, or they try to hang with the wrong crowd to be accepted, and that's how we get into gangs and all the other things that happen. So much is attributed to bullying these days.
Well, now, do you, in your program, do you focus on that at all, the dangers of this mass media?
Oh, absolutely.
And social media?
Yes, we show kids that have taken their lives because of reading things on their social media that they just couldn't take it anymore and they would kill themselves. We really try to touch kids on a heartfelt. But what is really sad is that, you know, our program needs to be in every school, and it's so heartbreaking when a principal or a faculty member won't even call you back. And even though other schools will say it was the best program we have ever had,
mm-hmm.
I've gotten testimonies. If you just go to our website, thinkpos.org, and read the testimonies from principals and said, "I've been here for 20 or 30 years. It's the best program that's ever been at our school." And when I have a principal tell me, "We don't have a bullying problem," or "We don't have time for assembly," I'm thinking to myself, are you kidding me? What world are you living in?
Wow. And once again, folks, you can help them out. Just go to thinkpos.org. But also, go to winaspark.com and buy a raffle ticket to one of these sparks. It's going to be given away at the Arena Bowl. You don't have to be present to win. If you buy five tickets, though, if you buy $100 worth, you'll get six raffle tickets plus two tickets to the Arena Bowl. And also, you'll be helping out Mark Merrow as he goes around and helps schools by giving these presentations. So go to winaspark.com, and for $20, you can get a raffle ticket. I know I'm going to get a couple, so follow along and do the same thing. And once again, that will be given away, and you don't have to be there at the Arena Bowl. Noster Dennis, are you going to sign up for a couple of tickets?
I think I might go in for one. My cars are getting up there in mileage. I might need a new one soon.
That's right. Yeah, and this is it going to be the same colors in the picture?
It is. Believe it or not, that's the hottest color. I even said the same thing when I was at the dealership. I said, "Can we pick a different color?" He goes, "Mark, this color right here is the hottest selling color."
You'll definitely
it's
be
called,
seen.
It's called jalapeno
green.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, it's a bright green, lime green.
How cool would it be, Larry? How cool would it be that I'm on stage at the end of that the wrestling after the Arena Bowl, they're having the wrestling match. At the end of the wrestling match, they're choosing the winning, out of this big drum, they're picking the winning ticket. If your name comes up, I'm going to fall off the stage. But I really hope one of my you know, my Facebook friends or Twitter friends,
sure,
or someone that follows me wins it, because that would be so cool, because I'm going to really promote the heck out of them after they win.
And by the way, you are active on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
And Facebook, is it just under Mark Merrow?
It's Mark is with a C, Mark and Merrow, M-E-R-O. Mark, M-A-R-C, Merrow, M-E-R-O. That's my my Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you name it, I'm on there.
You've got a lot of followers, too. So, folks, once again, please help Mark out. It's a great thing that he's doing, and it's a great story. And get a copy of his book, How to Be the Happiest Person on the Planet. And you can go to thinkpos.org. To get a copy of that book and to other merchandise there too. And Larry wanted to know if you had action figures.
Yeah, I do. I think they, over the years, probably I think it's like 10 or 12 different action figures now that they've made of everybody from Johnny B. Bad to Wildman Mark Mero, Marvelous Mark Mero.
Can we get some of those at thinkpaws.org?
I don't sell those. No. That was an old chapter of my life, but it was you know, there's so many, you know, good things that happened through that, and it's really given me a platform today to really utilize that notoriety to continue to help other people.
Well, other wrestlers have also, millionaire Ted DiBiase. Hasn't he done something similar?
He is, and we just connected, Ted and I. We were just talking a couple days ago on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Nostradamus, back to you.
Yes, I have two notes here from Johnny Guns. Johnny Guns says to Mark Mero, Johnny B. Bad was one of his favorite wrestlers growing up.
Wow, that was awful nice.
Johnny says to Chris and Lair, don't tell Hacksaw that Johnny B. Bad was his favorite wrestler.
Yeah, Hacksaw might put that 2x4 up against his head, his noggin or something. By the way, Mark, last time we let you get away without mentioning this, and I heard it in your interview with Pat Williams, and we were going to talk to you about it too, but you were quite the football player in high school.
I was. You know, a lot of people that don't know me probably don't know this, but we won the state title in New York. In football.
Yep.
And my high school football coach was UCF coach George O'Leary.
George O'Leary,
yeah.
That's right.
I went down to the field not too long ago. They had the
spring's practice.
Yeah, and I went down to see him, and it was great to see him. And man, he was a real mentor in my life when I was a troubled kid, you know, and he really helped me. And you know,
he's from Long Island, I
yeah,
believe.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Yeah. And I've only played 1 year of football, but because of George O'Leary, I was first team all county. And I believe that year I had the record for quarterback sacks. And I was just a really, you know, dedicated football player because of that guy.
Well, I tell you what, you look like you're in fantastic shape right now. You look like you could climb in the ring and do business with any of them. How do you keep in shape so well?
You know, I got an incredible wife, Darlene, who she's like a machine. She does like twice as much as I do in workouts. I mean, she works out every day. I like to work out only 3 times a week, mm-hmm. but she's always going at it. And so she keeps me focused, and we eat really clean. Eating is probably the most important thing. We really stay away from a lot of the junk food and eat clean every day.
No, that's a great idea. Well, this looks like we're up on our final break. I don't know if we've given away those Rays tickets or not. Be listening up, folks. That highlight play may be coming right up.
Of course, you don't want to go away. The American Adversaries will be back.
And you should too. Don't let me come and get you, because I'll kick your booty with my tuna booty.
I love it. That's great.
I'm a bad man, but so pretty.
That's right. You showed up.
You hush, Chris. I saw you winking at me.
He does that a lot.
Have you run into our buddy Dusty Rhodes since the last time?
My gosh, it was great. My Darlene and I were. It was the 4th of July, which of all days, yeah. Run to the American Dream, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We were eating. She wanted to go to this breakfast place in Winter Park, and I said, sure, let's go, you know, and mm-hmm. It's a big long line, it's a Sunday, you know, or 4th of July, whatever day that was, but it was just packed, and we were waiting, finally they sit us at this table, and all of a sudden, I'm sitting next to, not even realizing it, because he yells at me, goes, Johnny the Bad. I turn around, I go, Dustin Rhodes! I got up and we hugged each other. See, he created the character Johnny B. Bad. I don't know if you know that or not, it was Dusty Rhodes that actually, when he first saw me, said that, hey, did anybody ever tell you you look like Little Richard? I said, Little Richard? Who's Little Richard? You know? He's talking about a wrestler, and he goes, you know, wop, bop, a loop, bop, a wop. And I said,
I never heard that.
He goes, I got a gimmick for you. And next thing I know, man, they're putting makeup and curling my hair and, oh, I was a bad man.
Well, Tyler asked you a question during the break, and Tyler, I'd like you to re-ask the question because I'd like him to say his answer over the air.
Well, I was saying that I'm pretty close to just getting out of high school myself, and one of the things that we had seen, I've been through a couple of these, you know, these inspirational speaking conversations, I should say. One of the things I notice is that when someone comes in, they always have a target. They're targeting the kids that are being bullied. They're targeting the adults who need to look for the warning signs. They're targeting the people that are doing the bullying. I mean, I'm just kind of guessing, What steps are we taking, not just to do this one time a year, one time you're in a school, but I mean...
And what's your program like? Are you targeted like that?
Well, obviously we're going after kids that are being bullied or being hurt or abused, but it's also suicidal thoughts. It's like I said, we are losing so many of our kids today. But, you know, our program, it's a multimedia promotion. Remember, I come from the wrestling world. When I walk out there, you know, you can walk out there to 1,000 or 2,000 students, and a lot of them, they don't remember me. They're sitting there chair slouching like, entertain me. Who's this guy? Who's this old guy? By the end of my presentation, they are on their feet. It is so powerful how we captivate them. We do this through entertainment. We got the most incredible hip-hop dancers called Mero's Heroes that travel with us. And so we have a really engaging presentation. But we also, we have this really cool goal-setting program that we talk about in schools. I mean, so many kids aren't focused on their future. In other words, I really challenge kids to write their goals and dreams down. When I was 10 years old, I wrote my goals down in this little book that I carry to every school. And it was dreams like that. I mean, they're mostly materialistic things because I was so poor. I wanted a black Cadillac. I wanted a speedboat. I wanted to be a professional athlete. I wrote it down. Not only that, but I wrote down I was going to win Rookie of the Year, which I eventually accomplished. But I also wrote down I want to be a millionaire. Now, when you put these dreams and goals, every kid gets a goal-setting card, and I challenge them to put them up on the refrigerator, their bedroom, somewhere where they have to see it every day. The more you see your dreams and goals, the more likely you are to take action towards them and be accountable to a dream or goal that you have in your life. Otherwise, we become the adults and say, you know, I always wish I would have done that. And the adults that are listening out there, I've got to tell you something. We become complacent in our lives. And I want you to never stop dreaming. Don't ever feel like your best years have passed you. You always got to remember that, you know, what you have in the future is so much more than what was your past. And your past doesn't dictate your future. I don't care if you messed up. And, you know, we got to pass failure. We got to pass failure on the road to success.
Sure.
My best years are ahead of me.
Sure. It's like, you know, I wish I'd have known then what I know now. Well, now you know what you know now. So take advantage of it, right?
Absolutely. We're not too old. Are you kidding me? If I can look up, I can get up.
Nostradamus, a last remark for Mark Merrill before we have to let you go, and we'll be seeing you at Cafe Positano, I take it.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. Now, Mark, I have heard, and confirm or not to me, that most bullies are bullied themselves at home. Is that true?
Not necessarily at home. I mean, they may be, you know, going through some type of abuse at home, but, you know, a lot of bullies have been bullied in their past, too, that we're seeing. But we're seeing a really mean society is what I'm observing in schools. I just see kids that are just, I mean, mean. It's harassment. I don't know if you can call it. It's just complete harassment.
Can we say it's just a reflection of the culture that's outside of schools?
I believe so. And where are the parents? I mean, I have 9 Facebook pages. They just keep filling up. You know what I mean? And I see some of the kids that post on Facebook, and I think, where are the parents of what these kids are writing, the language that they're using? I mean, I can't imagine having a son or daughter and not monitoring what they're doing in their life, especially in the society that we live in today. There's a lot of bad people out there.
There sure are, but you're doing a lot of good things, Mark Merrow. And unfortunately, we're running up on the end of the show here. But once again, folks, you can help Mark Merrow out by going to winaspark.com. That's winaspark.com and buying some raffle tickets to a Chevy Spark. And it's going to be given away at the Arena Bowl, after the Arena Bowl, after the wrestling matches.
Yes.
And that's going to be a lot of fun. And Mark's going to draw the winning ticket. You don't have to be there, but if you buy $100 worth of raffle tickets, you'll get 2 tickets to that Arena Bowl and 6 raffle tickets, not just 5. And also, if you don't want to do that, if perhaps you know some other way you can help out, go to thinkpaws.org and help Mark out that way. If you know someone who has a school or a church or an organization that, you know, could benefit from Mark's services, please, once again, send them or go to thinkpaws.org and get them hooked up with Mark Merrill. And Mark, you said that, you know, that when you do these, not only do you speak in the schools, but you also usually speak in the local churches as well.
I do. I love speaking to the churches, and I've spoken to many churches in our area. And we're traveling all over the country speaking to churches.
And you related to us that what happens to the church attendance after you speak at one of these schools.
Yeah, we have seen, you know, if I'm at a local school near a church, we have seen some churches that double and triple in attendance because of all the students that are bringing their families to the church, which is really cool because
they want their families to see you.
Yes, and they've been emotionally touched by the presentation at the school, and they want their moms, brothers, sisters, friends to see it. To also, you know, everybody wants a relationship, but we just don't know how to go about doing it. And we're doing it the wrong way today, you know. I mean, so many of these young people, they want this gratifying feeling immediately, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, lust says I want it now, but love says we can wait.
That's right. And, you know, so many kids, they say one of the main reasons why they join gangs is because they want to feel like they belong. And a gang is, in a sense, to them, their family. And the only reason they go to that family, folks, is because their real family just isn't there. But Mark Merrow, it's a great thing that you're there. And once again, we look forward to having you back in the future. And you're going, getting ready to go on tour, though.
I am. I'm going to Atlanta, Georgia, where we're doing a 20 presentation. Take 2 weeks out there in Atlanta to kick off. Then we go to New York, Alabama, South Carolina. And, of course, we're doing as many schools as possible. I live here in Florida, so please, faculty, principals, go to our website, thinkpozpoz.org, and get us in your school. You are going to do your kids a favor. We will change and save lives.
That's right, folks. If you are a teacher or faculty member or know someone who is, please turn them on to thinkpause.org and Mark Merrow. It's a great thing going on. And once again, go to winaspark.com and buy raffle tickets for that Chevy Spark and help Mark out that way.
It's an incredible deal, too, Chris.
That's right. And by the way, we did give away those Rays baseball tickets. And that was.
I was going to mention that. Didn't we give those away?
We'll try to get the name up here real quick, but we did give the Rays baseball tickets away, and it was Michael. Michael from Orlando, congratulations, and enjoy those Rays games. And once again, Mark, thanks for being with us.
Chris, Lair, Tyler, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much. And please, go to our website, thinkpause.org, and I hope to see you at your school or your church real soon.
Folks, American Adversaries will be here tomorrow night, 5 o'clock.
Night, everybody.